Now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd all open our Bibles this evening to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And for our text, we're going to read from verse 1 through 9. And I would like to speak on a very simple subject concerning what it means to be a real Christian. Because with Christian living, or a living, a life worthy of the gospel, there has to be an ultimate. There has to be an ideal that we're striving for. And therefore, tonight I'd like to lay out some of the very simple principles that Brother Branham has given to us that teaches us what he would rather have or rather see in a Christ-filled people. And in doing so, to see a true Christian life, true Christ-centered life. So beginning in verse 1, we read, Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commandeth to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you have given us the means by which you have given us your word to know what to do in the season in which we live. For there is a seed for the season. And Father, we know that seed is your word, which is planted, which was sown by the Son of Man. And believing, Father, that the life that was in that word must bring forth fruit. And so, Lord, we're asking and that you would help us, Lord, to have that great gift to get ourselves out of the way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the NIV puts it very, very plainly. It says, impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit in your home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Now, from God Keeps His Word, he said, I'd rather have an old home with no rugs on the floor and with a little old iron bedstead sitting there and an old dresser somewhere or whatever and a little old kitchen table made out of boxes with a sign hanging on it, God bless our home, than all the fine homes in the world, your pinups and nonsense that you have today. And the Bible laying on a table instead of all these old love story magazines and things laying around of dirt and filth and lust and everything else to breed into the children. How can you expect anything else but a bunch of infidels and agnostics to answer out? That's true, friends. Bring up a child in the way it shall go, teaching him on the Word of God. Abraham Lincoln said, until he was a grown man, had only two books. One of them was the Bible and the other was Fox's Book of Martyrs. Abraham Lincoln. And he studied that so hard, he read and he concentrated on that, and that's what developed the kind of character that Abraham Lincoln was. Now, I will say there's just too much focus on the things of the world amongst message believers today, especially you young people. You're guilty, and you're going to give an account one day. The Amplified Version says, it's even more basic. It says, and these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your mind and heart, then you shall wet and sharpen them, so to make them penetrate, and to teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children. Now, this is where I've always seen that thought that Brother Branham said that has never failed. When he said, I do not believe in juvenile delinquency, it is parent delinquency. And that's exactly what Moses is saying here too. He says, it's got to be in your heart and in your mind first, before you can instill it in your children's heart. And then how do you transfer that same enthusiasm for the Word of God into your children? He says, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. So they would place pictures, they would place scriptures, they would place the Word of God, they would talk the Word of God. They would constantly bombard the minds of the young ones with the Word, so that in times of trouble, the children have only one place to go, and that's what's in their mind. And that's to God and His Word. The children will see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and when they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, it will have an influence in their minds and in their hearts. From the message preparation, Brother Branham said, don't depend on your knowledge, and don't never try to figure out anything out that God says. If you could figure it out, or I could figure it out, or any other preacher could figure it out, we would be equal with God. We are not supposed and never will be able to figure it out, because when we can figure it out, it's not faith anymore. We've got to accept it by faith. Is that right? God said so. I don't know how. I can't tell you how He's going to do it, but He's going to do it. Because He said, that's the basis. God is going to do it because He promises to do it. He's God and He can't break His promise, how it is. And some of God's preparations has been so ridiculous to the people who depend on the tree of knowledge. God's preparation has been absolutely ridiculous to the natural mind, because the natural mind can't conceive the things that are of God, because they are foolishness unto him. And he just thinks it's horrible to think, why would God do that? In Noah's day, God showed Noah some way, whether it was God speaking to him audibly or inaudibly. Now, does God always speak to you audibly? Well, sometimes on the tape, sure, if that's the voice of God to you. But God most of the time speaks inaudibly to you, and most of the time he spoke inaudibly to his prophets. I was listening to Brother Branham just the other day. He said, God gave me a great gift to be able to look at nature and see the things in the spiritual out of it. Now listen, God didn't give him every single message audibly, didn't tell him everything audibly, but he was in tune with God's Spirit. And when he saw things in nature, like hybridization of those things, he saw it had to be in the spiritual realm too. And many of his great sermons came from just looking at something in nature. God spoke to Noah. Audibly or inaudibly, we don't really know. We could probably go back and see and try and search and everything else. You say audibly. It had to be audibly because he's a prophet of God. Now listen. God spoke to him. It doesn't mean he heard it with his ears, but he did hear it with the eyes of his understanding. We want to sometimes make these prophets, you know, as if they're somehow so much different than you. They're human beings just like you are. When God spoke to Elijah, was it the earthquake? No. Was it the thunder? No. What was it? A still, small voice. It means it wasn't audible. It was in here. God speaking to his heart. Now the problem is, we know certain things are coming down upon the earth. And that's true. I was talking to a precious friend of mine. And I said, the problem is that, I said, what you're saying is true. It's right in the Bible. God said, I will turn the world upside down. The problem is, we cannot set dates to it, because the Bible didn't set a date. And I said, that's the problem. But I said, other than that, what you're saying is true. And if people want to mock you for it, they will have to answer, because you're just repeating what God said. Now, there's only one person who died for us, and that's Jesus Christ. And he said, if I be lifted up, not if I lift up some minister, not if I lift up a prophet, no, if I be lifted up, it will draw all men to me. If God promised it, it will happen. And it doesn't take another minister to tell you what that means. If you can't read, then you better go back to first grade and learn how to read. If God says something, he means what he said. Now, I believe sometimes we try to press too hard. And we find ourselves pressing on or pressing in for an answer from God. And when we do that, we do more harm, not only to ourselves, but those around us as well. And we must never, ever do that. And as I've been saying for quite some time, God hates forced religion. And when you force quotes and scriptures to fit your doctrine and your creeds, you will never get anything from God. We must learn to trust God. Did he not promise that if we really love him with all, that all things would work together for our good? Then what are we worried about? We should be the most relaxed people in the world. Now, God will try you over and over again until you start wising up. You think that you got this person or this thing or this whatever, this job or whatever. You've just got to hold on to it. And then you find out it's the wrong person, thing, or job. And that God had someone, some job, or something much better for you. But you don't find that out until you go through all the pain and suffering that you didn't have to go through. If you would just believe the scripture says, all things shall work together for the good of those that love the Lord. Amen. And are thee called according to his purpose. Trying to force squares in a peg hole, in a round hole, will never work. It doesn't work with God. But when we press and we push, we do more harm, not only to ourselves, but to those around us as well. And as I said, we must never do that. And as I've been saying for quite some time, God hates forced religion. Brother Branham hated a forced religion. And what do you mean by forced religion? When you put a peer pressure on people to conform to what you think the word means. We should be relaxed. Under the seventh seal, there's relaxation time. Now, from Conduct Order Doctrine, Brother Brown said, now, I'll admit that people study too much. And they try to go too far ahead. And they try to think too hard. And sometimes they have mental breakdowns and things on account of studying about the Lord. You must quit that. You don't have to do that. The only thing you have to do is fall in love with Him. And just go right on loving Him. It's not trying to push into something or make something yourself something that you're not. Just go ahead and let God use you the way He wants to use you. Just yield yourself, commit yourself, and walk on happy, singing, rejoicing. That's the way. And that's exactly what I've been trying to teach. It's not pushing and pressing or anything about it. It's simply just yielding to that spirit that's within you. Brother Brown continues, the Bible said all things work together for good to them that love God. So just be sure that you love Him. That's the only thing that you have to know. Amen. Just love Him and walk on and say, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. And you love this. No, sir, I love you, Lord. See? Say, well, don't you want to be? Wouldn't you like to be a great preacher? Wouldn't you like to be this? No. Now, Lord, what if you want me to be? I will. But if you don't, amen. I'll be right here, just a doormat at this church. Well, now, I believe if you do something like this, the people would think a lot more of your church. I don't care what the people think. I want to know what you think, Lord. I'll just stay right here. I'll just stay right here with you. What you tell me to do. I love all of them, sure. Well, now you know Sister So-and-so, and you don't love her. Yes, I do, Lord. Yes, I sure do. I love her. Why? Because you love her, and you're in me. And I have to love her, because it's you in me, loving her out of me. That'll get it. Isn't that what I said years ago? You can love anybody if you allow God's love to flow through you toward that person. Now, that's not a bad thing. You just have to be careful with that. But you can ask God to love someone through you, and you will find your love for that person is so great, you cannot hardly contain it. Why? Because it's God's love. The Bible says, the love of God constraineth me. What does constrain mean? It's like putting you in a box. You can't move any way except for where He moves you. From Israel at the Red Sea, Brother Brown said, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's quoting Jesus. Is that right? Now listen, here's the man's words about it. Jesus Christ, St. John 5:24, He, Brother Brown says, He, whosoever that heareth my words and believeth on Him that sent me, hath, present tense, everlasting life. That's not just from one meeting to another. Everlasting life, and shall not come into the judgment or condemnation, shall never be cast away, but hath, past tense, passed from death unto life. St. John 5:24. Jesus said so. He said, I am the bread that cometh down from God out of heaven. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. But he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood hath everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last days. That's what he said. Now there's many that pretend to be in there. There's many that's warring themselves and trying to live right and trying to press in. I don't know about that. But if they are in there, it's just as easy to live a Christian life as it is to live any life. Because you're in Christ. And nothing else but just so full of the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you and directs you. And why, sure, you'll make mistakes and fall. But you can't stay down because no more than you could make a stalk of corn or a sycamore tree. You can't do it. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. You have everlasting life. One of the greatest curses on the church today is fear. Everybody's scared to death. It's, well, what's going to happen? Who and what? And why, Jesus said, even when the fearful sights come. Now that's this hour. He said, lift up your heads and rejoice, for your redemption is drawing nigh when these things are about to happen or are happening. So no matter what you see, and Jesus said there'd be earthquakes, many earthquakes in diverse places, nation rise against nation, fearful sights in the skies. But he said, don't be worried. This is the greatest hour because our redemption is coming to a close. We're going home soon. Now I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 from the Weymouth translation for our reading. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, Paul says, God is ever true to his promises, and it was by him that you were won, and all called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I entreat you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to cultivate a spirit of harmony, all of you, and that there be no divisions among you, but rather a perfect union through your having one mind and one judgment. For I have been distinctly informed, my brethren, about you by closed people, that there are dissensions among you. What I mean is that each of you is a partisan. One man says, well, I belong to Paul. Another, oh, I belong to Apollos. And a third, I belong to Peter. And a fourth, I belong to Christ. What's Paul saying here? Get your eyes on Christ. Brother Bram said, from God's only provided place of worship, I don't care how sincere you are. If you take a man for your leader instead of the Holy Spirit to confirm this word, that's the hour that you die. That's why Brother Branham said, read what he said. Believe the Bible word by word. Take it literally. People don't want to do that. They want to make it metaphors and all kinds of isms. As Brother Bram said, God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. That's just that simple. He said, the genuine seed cannot, because there's nothing left after the seed. It's the same thing was back at the beginning. It's the bride that fell into the ground to bring forth the corn of wheat again. Paul said, I didn't die for you. I'm not your savior. Look, Paul said in verse 13, is Christ in fragments? Is it Paul who was crucified on your behalf? Now listen, Paul was a vindicated messenger prophet, and he tells us to get our eyes off himself and get our eyes on Christ. Or were you baptized to be Paul's adherents, disciples of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, for fear people should say that you were baptized to be my adherents. Why, when I go overseas, I let the local ministers baptize other ministers that want to be rebaptized. I don't do it. That's why when I go overseas, I only go once or twice to a place and I don't go back anymore. I could, and I could push, and I could extend myself and make a big following, and I have no intentions of answering on that. There's only one that we should be lifting up, and that's Jesus Christ, the eldest brother in a vast family of brothers. And I don't even claim to be an older brother. I'm a brother. But we have one eldest brother. And we had an older brother, William Branham. But who am I? I'm just a brother. I don't need to come back to those places more than introduce them to the doctrine of Christ. Get their eyes focused on Christ instead of focused on the church. No. They're brothers. Step into their role. Was Paul baptized for you? Was he crucified for you? He says no. For fear people would say, I only baptize them to make followers of myself. That's what Paul feared. Well, you know, he's not really one of us. He's doing his own thing. He's got his own gospel, got his own message. Paul said, I was very careful not to give people the appearance of things that they wanted to hear. How many times people in their own hearts, because of the evil in their own hearts, take that evil that's in their heart and they cast it on the person who's out there trying to do something for God. Because in their heart, you see, they say, oh, he's trying to make himself somebody. Oh, he's trying to be a big shot. Oh, he's trying to do this. No, that's you are trying to do that. How can you, with the big log in your eye, look upon someone else who's out there trying to do something for Christ? Look at the motive. Look at the fruits. As Paul said, look at the people sitting under that ministry, and you will see the fruit of that ministry. I did, however, baptize Stephanus' household also, but I do not think that I baptized anyone else. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the good news, and not in merely wise words, lest the cross of Christ should be deprived of its power. In other words, not in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are on their way to perdition, but it is the power of God to those whom he is saving. For so it stands written, I will exhibit the nothingness of the wisdom of the wise. and the intelligence of the intelligent I will bring to nothing. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where is your wise man? Where is the expounder of the law? Where is your investigator of the questions of this present age? Has not God shown the world's wisdom to be utter foolishness? For after the world by its wisdom, as God in his wisdom had ordained, had failed to gain the knowledge of God, God was pleased by the apparent foolishness of the message which we preach to save those who accepted it. Seeing that Jews demand miracles and Greeks go in search of wisdom, while we proclaim a Christ who has been crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who have received the call, whether Jew or Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because that which the world deems foolish is in God is wiser than men's wisdom, and that which deems feeble in God is mightier than men's might. For consider, brethren, God's call to you. Not many who are wise with mere human wisdom, not many of position and influence, not many of noble birth have been called. But God has chosen the things which the world regards as foolish in order to put in its wise men to shame. And God has chosen the things which the world regards as destitute of influence in order to put its powerful things to shame. And the things which the world regards as base and those things which it sets utterly at naught, things that have no existence, God has chosen in order to reduce to nothing things that do exist, to prevent any mortal man from boasting in the presence of God. But you, it is all God's doing, are in Christ Jesus. He has become for us a wisdom which is from God, consisting of righteousness and sanctification and deliverance, in order that it may be, as the scripture says, he who boasts, let his boast be in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:1. And as for myself, brethren, when I came to you, it was not with surpassing power of eloquence or earthly wisdom that I came, announcing to you that which God had commanded me to bear witness to. For I determined to be utterly ignorant when among you of everything except of Jesus Christ. In other words, not a church of gossip, not trying to find out what's going on in this person's life or this person's life. He said, I determined to be ignorant of all your little pettiness, but just to know one thing, and that's Jesus Christ, and of him as having been crucified. And so far as I myself was concerned, I came to you in conscious feebleness and in fear and in deep anxiety. Here's the Apostle Paul, anointed by God, vindicated by the pillar of fire. And I came to you in conscious feebleness and in fear and in deep anxiety. And my language and the message that I proclaimed were not adorned with persuasive words of earthly wisdom, but depended upon truths which the Spirit taught and mightily carried home, so that your trust might rest not in the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. Yet when we are among mature believers, we do speak words of wisdom, a wisdom not belonging, however, to the present age, nor to the leaders of the present age, who are soon to pass away. But in dealing with truths hitherto kept secret, we speak of God's wisdom, or that hidden wisdom which, before the world began, God predestined, so that it should result in glory to us, a wisdom which not one of the leaders of the present age possess. For if they had possessed it, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. But to use the words of Scripture, we speak the things which eye has not seen, nor ear heard, and which have never entered into the heart of man, all that God has in his readiness for them that love him. For us, however, God has drawn aside the veil through the teaching of the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, including the depth of the divine nature. For among human beings, who knows a man's inner thoughts except the man's own spirit within him? In the same way also, only God's Spirit is acquainted with God's inner thoughts. But we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which comes forth from God, that we may know the blessings that have been freely given to us by God. Of these we speak, not in language which man's wisdom teaches us, but in that which the Spirit teaches us, adapting as we do spiritual words to spiritual truths. The unspiritual man rejects the things of the Spirit of God and cannot attain to the knowledge of them because they are spiritually judged. But the spiritual man judges of everything, although he himself is judged by no one. For who has penetrated the mind of the Lord and will instruct him? But we do have the mind of Christ. Now from his sermon, Way to Have Fellowship, Brother Brown said, I'd rather have a church. Now listen, just a moment, he says. I would rather have a church that knows nothing about any spiritual gift and just be so in love with each other and with Christ, I'd rather have that than every spiritual gift operating in the church. Fivefold ministry, those are gifts to the church. That's right. He said, now that might sound hard in a Pentecostal group, but I would rather have it. Where there is gifts, they'll fail. Where there is gifts, they'll bring confusion. Where there is gifts, they can be questioned. But where there is love, it is perfect. That's right. And if you had perfect love, you'd have perfect gifts. That's right. So work first with love. That brings fellowship, and fellowship brings gifts. Now, I'm going to read that one more time. He said, I'd rather have a church. I would rather have a church that knows nothing about any spiritual gifts and just be so in love with each other and with Christ. I'd rather have that than every spiritual gift operating in the church. Now, can we come to that place someday, I hope, where we're so in love with each other and with Christ that nothing else matters? Living for one another, helping one another, lifting up one another. From Believest Thou This, he said, I'd rather have a man that didn't know split beans from coffee and know God in his heart to deal with my people than I would some man with enough education to choke a mule and know nothing about God. God bless your heart, brother. An old-fashioned sassafras experience was what we need today. We don't want to know genealogy. You need a little neology. That's what a man needs today. Back to God. Back to prayer life. Where? Speaking up. Pray. Hold on to God till it comes to pass. God will do it. Hallelujah. From works that I do bear witness of me, he said, after all, I'd rather have the love of God sealed in my heart than all the gifts there is in the Bible. What about the gift of wisdom or the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him? He said, I'd rather have the love than all of that. Didn't this same apostle Paul say, you could have all wisdom to know all things and have not love? What good does it do you? I don't care, honestly, I don't care how well you know the doctrine. If you talk bad about other people and gossip and say evil things to hurt, makes no difference to me how much you know the doctrine. You need a dose of the Holy Ghost. I would rather have a church so in love with each other and with Christ and hardly know the doctrine, but could understand that there was a relationship there between Jesus and his Father. And that's all they strive for. That's all they want, is to have that relationship. And you know, if you can have that relationship, you know the doctrine better than those that can theologically teach it to you, because you see something they don't see. They see theology. You see a relationship. And what good does theology do anybody? It just gives you a license to argue. I'm sorry, but no one has taught the doctrine like I have around the world. You say, well, Brother Bell did. Not around the world, he didn't. Not like I have. And nobody has poured out their life almost unto death as much as I have in the years that I've done. And I'm so sick and tired of theological debate over doctrine. It makes me sick. It's not about theology. It's not about taking words and playing games with words. And this person says the word's a little different from our group, so, you know, let's put them out of the camp. Go ahead and put them out. He wouldn't want to be in your camp anyway. I want to be with Jesus. That's all I want. I want to walk with him like Enoch walked. I want to love him so much that he'll love me. And I know that's backwards, because he said we love him because he loved us. That's why I want to love him, because he's already loved me. And I want to love him in return. And I'll do for him in return. Just a little bit, because of what great things he's done for me. That's what Christianity is all about. It's not who you know and what you know. No, the who you know is Christ. If you don't know him, you don't know nothing. Brother Bram said, I would rather know him than know his Bible. He said that. I'll read it to you in just a few minutes. I'd rather have the love of God sealed into my heart than all the gifts there is in the Bible. From works that I do bear witness of me, he said, brother, I know the author better than I know his book. Amen. I'd rather have the author anyhow, anytime. His book's fine. Oh, blasphemy, Brother Brown. How can you say the Bible's fine? He just did. He's vindicated. You're not. He said, the Bible's fine. That's right. But I'd rather know the author, wouldn't you? And you know him by his love. From angel of God, he said, I'd rather be poor and have favor with God than the best home you've got in Toledo. That's right. I'd rather have it. Because this is my work, to serve God. That's what's in my heart. From resurrection of Lazarus, he said, I'd rather have a man with my boy who didn't know the difference between split peas, split beans and coffee, but knows the Holy Ghost, than to have all the education in the world and try to pump it into him. That's right. And I'm going to tell you something about education. The men that have been the biggest achievers in this world had very little of it. Formal education. Sam Walton, 8th grade education. Wealthiest man in the world until his time. Bill Gates, dropped out from college. Steve Jobs, dropped out after one semester of college. Why? Because college doesn't do anything for you that you haven't already got in you. You say, well, I need to get a job. No, you don't. You might need to get the job that they say you got to have. But the great man, look at Rush Limbaugh, dropout. I don't think he went even a quarter to college. He's a high school boy. What does he make, $40 million a year? Talking, huh? Find your niche, what you're good in. The gift that God has given you. That's what it's all about. Giving back to God what is given to you. Education, let me tell you something for someone who's taught at the university level for 10 years as an adjunct professor. It's all about the money. They don't care if you learn or if you don't learn as long as they get paid. And that's what it's all about. And you get enough stupid professors that teach it to the kids and the kids can't understand it, so they have to take the same course two or three times. That's just two or three paychecks. They don't want to teach you. And they don't know. And let me tell you something. If a man has never worked himself in the field, he don't know diddly squat. If he's got his education from a book, he just knows what somebody else told him. And he don't even know it that well. Sitting there through some of those master's courses and teaching you about, you know, the theory of or the theory of finance and this and that. You know, I've done budgets for 30 years and I've never used the theories that they talk about. They're good only for theories. So why do they cram them down your skull? Because the guy has never sat behind a desk of a company. He knows nothing about running a company. He knows everything about his little theories. And that's why he's making the small wages. And the guy behind the desk in the company is making the big wages. And that's why they can't get, you know, men that are making the big money to teach. Unless after they retire, they decide that's what they want to do. And then those men, usually they're conservative, they don't want them anyway. Because they're conservative. They want people that will teach an agenda. That's all. That's what school's about. It's trying to take the little minds of the people and bastardize them. And make them a hybrid. You say, well, you shouldn't use words like that. That's a true word. That's an illegitimate. They want to make you illegitimate. I'd rather have my name in the Lamb's Book of Life from Israel of Kadesh Barnea than in all the who's who's. Hallelujah. That tells who's who there's a name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. People would brag, well, I'm in the so-and-so who's who. You know what it takes? It takes $50. Maybe today it takes $75. I don't know how many times, I can't even count how many times I've been approached by the who's who. We want to put your name in there for who's... And I thought, what for? What for? For $75, that's what's for. Still get them today. We want to put you in the who's who, you know. And I thought, well, who's who? Who are you? You're somebody that wants to print a book. You get a bunch of people that are proud to put their names in a book so you can make $75 per hit. Now, if you got a book that's that thick and maybe just this much in each person, how many people you got in there? Thousands times $75 a hit? It's stupidity and pride. Brother Bram said, I'd rather have my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And any who's who man can put up. From Israel at home, he said, Moses glorified himself before the people instead of glorifying God. And God turned from him. Now listen, God turned from a vindicated prophet who Brother Brown said glorified himself by striking the rock. When God didn't say strike the rock, he said speak to the rock. Speak to it. And Moses was angry with the people, not with God. But he disobeyed God's word and didn't speak to it. He took that cane and he smashed it against that rock. And he didn't get to enter in because of that. Now tell me, if a vindicated prophet of God did not get to enter in because of that, what about any fivefold minister who lifts himself up or lets people lift him up? People don't realize the damage they can do to any fivefold minister. They start lifting that man up, and pretty soon he begins to believe his clippings. And right then, if he's not careful, the anointing will leave him. Just like it left Saul, when Saul got lifted up. And today, churches begin to glorify themselves instead of glorifying God. They're trying to get more members, better churches, better organs, better pews, and bigger church. God don't give that much for that. And he puts his fingers like that. You ought to be glorifying God. I'd rather have a little old mission somewhere cleaned up, down on the Bowery somewhere, where they could really get free and shout and praise God and have a good time, than all the great cathedrals in the world. Amen. That's right. God is finished with the church ages. God's fed up with the churches. It's individuals he's coming for. From Show Us the Father, it'll satisfy. He said, I'd rather have God in me than all the silver and gold in the world. Yes, sir. From talking on the word, he said, Brother, I'd rather have a little bit in me a little bit and be in the kingdom of God and doing what God wants me to do than have a whole lot and be away from the kingdom of God. I'd rather take my way with a bunch of little holy rollers and live in the presence of God than to belong to the biggest church in Chicago and be out of the kingdom of God. Amen. From testimony, he said, those Arkansas people are poor as they can be. The brother under them old blue shirts beats some real good, true, Holy Ghost-filled hearts. Yes, sir. I'd rather have one of them with me anytime than maybe a slicker with his collar turned around back, around in the back, and I couldn't trust him out of my sight. From Believest Thou This, he said, I'd rather have a man that didn't know his ABCs and could preach the Bible under the power of God, under the power of the Holy Ghost, than all the theology you could poke down his throat in 10 years. Hallelujah. From Life Story, he said, I'd rather have favor with God than to have anything that I know of in this world. And if I got favor with God, then I can serve His people. Well, if I've got favor with God, I can have the people serve me. Huh? Isn't that kind of the way that it goes? No, Brother Brown said, if I can have favor with God, then maybe He'll allow me to serve His people. What a difference. What a difference. From the Message Life Story, he said, I'd rather have favor with God than to have anything that I know of in the world. From Preparation, he said, I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire at all. Wouldn't you? What's that mean? It means I'd rather have people get excited. Maybe voice an amen or two. Maybe even shout a little bit than have them just sit back there and half asleep. And Brother Brown said, criticizing for saying pulpit. He says, pulpit. Pulpit. It's pulpit. From Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, he said, I'd rather have a church that has such a burden on their heart for prayer that they just stayed at this altar and would be here day and night and everything else, and in their house was constantly in prayer and humble, and trying to get people to come to God, and making calls at the hospital and visiting the sick and trying to get people to come to church and do right. I'd rather have that than all the other put together. Although the other is right, it belongs in the church. But I'd rather have that. In prayer and humble. From Redemption by Power, I'd rather have a little fanaticism than to sit still and do nothing. I like that. I like it a whole lot because people think I'm a fanatic. Oh yeah, they think I'm a fanatic because, you know, and they say, well, you know, he's talking about this rainbow. Listen, I didn't make the movie. I didn't come down. I didn't even see it. Others were blessed by what they saw and what they heard. And so let's take that away from them too. Oh, the little child, shut up, kid. Take away his binky. I'd rather have a little fanaticism, Brother Brown said, than doing nothing. Yeah, I think I would too. I'd rather have people excited, even though they might get fanatical. I'd rather see I'd rather have to deal with the fanaticism, but see the excitement, than have people walk around with starched necks. Like Brother Brown said, they lift their nose. They might drown if it rains. From the Message to See Jesus, he said, now you know me, that I only have a grammar school education. I know nothing of psychology. I know nothing about medics. I know nothing about the anatomy. Only thing I know, I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart. That's all I know. I'm uneducated, I'm illiterate, and I have no abilities of my own, not even a normal personality. That's right. But I know one thing, and I'm thankful for that. I know how to submit myself that Jesus Christ can work through me. That's I'd rather have that than all your education that there is in the world. I'd rather know how to submit myself to the Spirit of God and say, Lord, here I am. I'd rather have that secret in my heart than have the secret of every hydrogen and atomic bomb in the world or could be made, for it's more powerful than all the atomic bombs that could be thought of. And so I say, you know, I think there's a difference between works and greater works. We know the greater works was in one man, but the works. He said if you have the Spirit of Jesus, the works, the fruit, the life, the nature, it'll be there. I would rather see people get a little fanatical with that than sit back smug and high and mighty in their pews. Because I can deal with that. Because I know that they have a love for God in their heart. They just want to yield themselves. So what if they step on their feet? So what if they fall on their face? That's their business. It's better than sitting back there and fanaticism. They're dead. Dead and gone. Now I'm just quoting the prophet here. All these things, Brother Branham said, I would rather be, I would rather have. He said them. But you know what? They don't care if he said them. Because if it doesn't fit their theology, it's not of any interest to them. They will say, well, Brother Branham's just deceiving the people, trying to give them a little rope so they'll go all do something stupid. Listen, you think a vindicated prophet of God was sent to deceive the people? Now, come on. He said, I know how to submit myself that Jesus Christ can work through me. And for the last 4 years, it's all I've been trying to get the people to do is just get out of the way. Let Christ live your life for you. And if Christ lives your life for you, the works that he did, you will do. I'm not talking about mighty miracles and stuff. I'm talking about just living your life for you. Jesus said the Son can do nothing but what he yields himself to the Father to do. That's it. Just let God, just yield yourself to God. Get out of the way. I'd rather have that than all the education, all your education, he said. I'd rather have that secret in my heart than to have the secret of every hydrogen bomb. What secret? The secret to know how to get yourself out of the way. Yeah. For Maniac of Gadara, he said, I'd rather have favor with God and be called a holy roller or a fanatic or whatever they want to call me and have favor with God to know that he's standing here this afternoon than all the wealth Chicago's got or all the glory that the world has got. I'd rather be standing right here now holding this picture and telling you what it is and know that he's standing here right within 5 feet of me where I'm standing right now. I'd rather have this feeling and consolation that I have right now than to be king over all the earth for millions of years. From the impartable sin, he said, I'd rather have that than all the popularity of women and men and whatever is in the earth. I'd rather have favor with God. From God's perfecting his church, he said, I'd rather have an old plowboy, couldn't say his ABCs, teaching my children the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ than all the DDs in the world that knows nothing about God. Nothing. Nothing to your theology. From great warrior Joshua, he said, I'd rather have one filled with the Holy Ghost and full of God's power than 1,000 times thousands church joiners. Rather have one alive with God who'd believe. From seven compound names of Jehovah, he said, I'd rather have prayer than all your money. Fellowship by redemption, he said, real divine taste of fellowship with Christ, I'd rather have it than all the vacations and things in the world. From enticing spirits, I'd rather have a drunkard with me any day than a liar. Now listen, you can be the very, you can be the highest elder in the church, the deacon of deacons, the trustee of trustees, and be a liar. He said, I'd rather have a drunkard with me than a liar. From results of decisions, he said, I'd rather have a man preach to me with a pair of overalls on and mud on his shoes and no God than all the DDs that you could put before me. Hallelujah. Back to the old hewing line, brother. That's where we ought to go. Somebody to preach the full gospel. Believe in divine healing, the power of God, the resurrection, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. From Jehovah Jireh, I'd rather have favor with God than anything that I know of. From the message love, he said, I asked my wife not long ago. I asked her, I said, I want to ask you something, honey. I said, what is real true value placed on? I believe I told you that, though, the other night. What the true value? Nothing but lost souls is the only thing that's got any value in it. Money passes away, homes decay and go away, everything in the church moves away. The only value, the only lasting value, I'd rather have one soul in glory that I won to Christ, to know and see that the light of God circles around that soul through all eternity, my name to be associated with that, than to have every penny of money in the whole earth, because I'd have to lose it all. But what you send up there is eternal, and that's the reason that we're trying. My lost brother and sister tonight, without hope, without God, that's why I'm here to speak to you, to try to get you to love the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's Brother Brown saying? To hell with church. To hell with your denominations. To hell with your organizations. To hell, hell, hell. All those things are going to hell. He said there's only one thing that's worth it, and that's getting a soul saved. I wasn't up here cussing. I was telling you where those things are going. Just so you know. From spiritual adoption, he said, I'd rather have a man that didn't know his ABCs to teach my child than that had the Holy Spirit than all the professors in the world who didn't have the Holy Ghost. Jehovah Jireh, I'd rather have the presence of God with me and be called a holy roller than be the archbishop in some other church that couldn't believe the powers of God. That's right. If I had to worship in a mission or a brush harbor, I'd like to be where the Spirit of God is. And from We Would See Jesus, he says, you have the privilege tonight to have to have Christ by you, and I'd rather have that than all the money in the world ever did have or ever would have. To know that I'm standing here now in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, and His loving grace has reached out to us. Here He is standing here tonight doing the same thing that He did when He was here on earth, working through you and through me. Well, if He just worked through me and didn't work through you, it would never work. It's your faith that does it. And from thirsting for life, he said, listen, I want to say this just on the side. That's the kind of song that I love. I'd rather have them than all of your little old chopped up boogie-woogie things that you try to put in the church and take the place of the old-fashioned hymns. It'll never do it. No, sir, the Holy Spirit loves those old-fashioned songs. And from thirsting for life, he said, I'd rather have favor with Christ than to be the president of the world. Thirsting for life, he also said, I'd rather have the real sweet, mellow Holy Spirit moving into my life and making all the world pass away than to have all the noise. And now I believe in shouting. Sure, I shout and scream myself. That's right, I believe in every gift. I wouldn't be here preaching healing. I believe in all those things. But brother, that isn't it yet. That's not it. These gifts and signs, that's not it. It's Christ in your heart. That's it. Then you'll stay. That's life. And from Hebrews chapter 6, he said, there's something about those old-fashioned songs, the old-time hymns. I'd rather have them than all of these new worldly songs put in Christian churches. From Jehovah Jireh, he said, I'd rather have someone preaching in my church that didn't even know his ABCs or knows Philippines from coffee. If he knew Christ in the power of the resurrection, I'd rather have him than all the students and scholars that these incubators could hatch out and their theological machines. I don't mean to be rude by misstating facts. We want men and women to know who God is, separating themselves from unbelief. From Hear Ye Him, just a few more and we'll close. I'd rather have His love than every gift He's got in His kingdom. Give me His love. He said, that's what the world is looking for today, to see a display of real, genuine love. It'll win souls when you got love. They can tell it when you got love. We got too much make-believe love. You know, it's the people that, Lord bless you, my brother. We're so happy that you're here. And then the minute you go, who was that creep? Oh, did you see the way she was dressed? Who? Well, you know, is that love? Is that really love? Listen, when you do those things, you are liars and you are hypocrites. From Why We're Not a Denomination, he said, why, here's a far greater gift right here, which would be the best. The gift of the Holy Ghost of wisdom to put the Word of God together and to show the church where we're standing than to just get somebody healed. We all want to be well, but I'd rather have my soul well than my body well anytime. And from God's provided place or provided way, he said, I'd rather have my spirit covered with the robe of His holiness than to have all the best suits that could be bought in all the world. Sure, rich in the kingdom of God. From Images of Christ, he said, a sweet spirit. I'd rather have it than anything I know of in the world. You can take all the rest of the world and its fancies, all your intellectuals, all your doctors, your rabbis, your bishops, your holy fathers, give me Jesus. That's right. Just let me have Him that old-fashioned way. I feel Him way down in my heart and watching my lives and seeing my desires is to serve Him, humble, meek, and lowly. That's what we need, friends. That's Jesus. That's the Jesus of the Bible. Not a Jesus of the intellect, but the Jesus of the soul. from a deceived church by the world. He said, I want the real Holy Ghost like is on me now. I want to keep it. I'd rather have it than all the things of the world. From questions and answers, conduct and doctrine, I'd rather have that than really know a man that really know God, if he didn't know his ABCs, to belong to my church, right? As long as he's the seed of Christ. And from that time, he said, I'd rather have somebody with one of my children out here on in the sagebrush field, somewhere down by an old stump that didn't even know his ABCs or know which was his right hand or left hand. If he knows Jesus Christ, I'd like to have him by my side of my child before I would any professor that knows a lot of theology and knows who know more about God than a rabbit knows about snowshoes. I'll tell you, brother, what we need today is back to the Bible and the old-fashioned baptizing of the Holy Ghost back into the church and so much of this stuff, old stuff, cut out. I'm not trying to support ignorance. I mean, if you've got the education plus that, amen. But the education covenant will fall one of these days, but the covenant with God will last forever and forever and forever. It'll go on through the eons of time into eternity. From as eagle stirs her nest, he said, I'd rather have a little wildfire than none at all. From presuming, I'd rather have my name on the big book up there than the big board down here. From why, I'd rather lose my job than lose my life. Your wife will leave you. I'd rather lose my wife than lose Christ. I'd rather have my neighbor make fun of me and me be right with God. From super sign, I'd rather have love than all the gifts that God has, because where there's tongues, they'll cease. Where there's prophecy, they'll fail. But where there's love, it endures forever. From Jehovah Jireh, I'd rather some man being my family or my child that didn't know the difference between split peas and coffee and know Christ. That's right. Take him out yonder somewhere by an old dump and a stump and kneel down on his knees and pray him through with the Holy Ghost comes on him. I'd rather have that than all the psychology you could pour upon him by a doctor's degree. Tell him the Word of God, yes. From falling apart of the world, he said, I'd rather have my consolation built upon the Word of God and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the presence of Christ, than all the security that politics of churches could ever give you. Certainly, because I know that'll stand. And in closing, from Turn on the Light, he said, I'd rather have that, what I've got, than all the education in the world. I have Jesus Christ, and I see Him live His Word right through me. And that's all that I need to know. And if a man is born of the Spirit of God, he'll search the Scripture to see if it's the answer for today. The answer of the day is Christ. Christ is the Word. When the Word comes to life, it shows the light that promised of the day. In this dark Laodicean age, just a few, as many as I receive, I chasten, I rebuke, repent, Jesus said, and return back, turn to the Word. He is the Word. Come to Him. Yes, sir. Too much tomfoolery in the churches today. Too much socialism. Too much socialism in the churches today. It's all about the social things. It's all about what people can do and parties and this and that and how you dress and, you know, what circle you're in and all this other garbage instead of knowing Jesus Christ. I would rather each of you have a personal, intimate relationship, love relationship with Jesus Christ than anything else in the world. Because that's what I want for myself. I've come too far to do anything else than to walk with Him and keep walking with Him. And if it comes a time of separation and all men will desert me like they did Paul, so be it. As long as I am hand in hand with my Lord Jesus, that's all I care about. And that's all you should care about as well. Let's bow our heads and pray. Gracious Father, we love You. And we love Your Son Jesus who gave His life for us. And Father, we know that we are ordained to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. All we ask, Father, is for one little gift, and that's to get ourselves out of the way. Help us, O God, to die out to self. That Christ, Your Son, His life, might live again in us and through us. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I am alive. I'm living. But the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by His faith. By the faith of the Son of God. And so, Father, we pray, knowing that Jesus died that we might live, help us to die that He might live again in us. For we ask it humbly in the precious name of your loving Son, our eldest brother, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's just sing that song, I Love Him. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Number 4 in these, the whole song book. Gone from my heart, the world and all its charms. Now through the blood, I'm safe from all alarms. Down at the cross, my heart is bending low. The precious blood of Jesus cleanses white as snow. I love Him, I love Him, because He first loved me, and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Now the last verse. Once I was bound, but now I am set free. Once I was blind, but now the light I see. Once I was dead, but now in Christ I live, to tell the world around the peace that He does give. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary. Let's all stand and just worship Him now.